It's a joy to be here and meet your pastor, and we're just thrilled with being with you today. And to not have to all have masks on. I know you're courageous, and it's just joy. Right now, I want to show you a 7-minute presentation of the last 50 years, what God has done in our lives for His glory.
We thank the Lord for 50 years of ministry, for God's call to Italy, for a family who loves and follows God, for the opportunity to share the gospel in TV and radio, for humble beginnings with believers willing to sacrifice all, for the birth and growth of a local Baptist church, for a church building bought and remodeled for God's promises for the future. 50 years of preaching the word, beginning with the anchorman from Baptist Bible College of Pennsylvania, Clark Summit University. We first heard the challenge to serve God in Italy through a former Baptist Missions missionary to Italy, Bill Fuskell. But we were married and were candidates for Liberia when the call to Italy came loud and clear. I thank God for Rachel, who shared my call to ministry in Italy at this time. We thank God for our family, a family that loves God. Jonathan, born in 1975, is now a co-pastor of the church we founded. The Whitmans, Noah, Jonathan, Melody, and Ava. Jeremy, born in 1978, is now a deacon in the church. The Whitmans, Francesca, Sophia, Giacomo, and Jeremy. Joshua, born in 1980, is now starting a church at Imola. The Whitmans, Josh and Sarah, Rebecca, Samuel, Naomi, Abigail, and Benjamin. Elizabeth, born in 1983, now the wife of Daniel Ransom, who also pastors the church. Here she is with her future sister-in-law, Francesca. The Ransoms, Daniel, Elizabeth, Christina, Elisa, Mark, Sara, and Anna. We started all alone in 1975. We preached the gospel in every possible way. Right when we began to get discouraged, God opened to us an incredible door, a daily gospel program in television. Since February 1979, our program, The Bible Today, has aired an average of twice daily. That is nearly 30,000 telecasts. In 1980, God provided finances to start Radio Luce. On June 30th, 2019, we were forced to close, partially due to the lack of $3,000 a month support. We praise God for many people who came to know Christ through Radio Luce in these nearly 40 years. Nearly half of our church came that way. After 10 years of ministry, we had our first two baptisms, one of which was Jonathan. Our children very early served in church with the music. Little by little, the church grew, and after 33 years, our hall of 950 square feet was just too small. In 2004, our 20 members voted to buy a corner lot of 45,000 square feet with this 9,000 square feet building for $500,000. Miraculously, my bank offered us a $400,000 loan, and many of God's people sent in gifts which enabled us to go forward by faith. Many brothers, Italian and foreign, came together to make a wonderful place of worship out of a sweater factory. On January 31st, 2020, we made our last payment. Now that we have a lovely church building, We need to build up the Church of the Saints in number and in maturity, in service for God's glory. We desire to be an army of God's servants that presses on in holiness and service. The preaching of the word takes preeminence. There are many ways to grow and serve, but we must start with worship, Bible study, and prayer. We serve through our ministries. Our Sunday school ministry. Presenting the gospel to these littles, one by one. And together. Growing and maturing in their faith. Then there's our summer day camp ministry. These are our most important investments for the future of our church. The Theological Academy is also of utmost importance in training our men for future ministry. The prison ministry currently in two prisons is demanding but very rewarding. Three people have been trained to carry on in my absence. I will continue to help in my retirement. Our ministry to the elderly is also important. There are always shut-ins that need to be visited. We have an active hospital visitation ministry. We also have a soccer outreach ministry. And our latest ministry group plans for a new church in our province. This project is currently on hold as the church and pastor consider my status as pastor emeritus. We are committed to build a strong local church from which to branch out as the Lord leads in the future. Each person is a trophy of God's grace. Our congregation is half Italian and half from 15 nations of the world. With God's help, we will carry on until the Lord's return. Jesus may come today. Are you ready? Greetings from the next generation of missionaries to Italy. Thank you for your support.
Before we look into the word, I'd like to call your attention to our display table. No snake skins or tarantulas, but some literature. There's our latest and our last prayer card. Some of you probably have the whole collection. And probably worth a lot of money right now. On the back, our children's, our families. Unfortunately, by September and then November, this card will be outdated because we're expecting our 15th and 16th grandchildren. So we praise God for that. If any of you do not receive our email updates, there's a sign-up list there. Please write legibly. You know, the Lord said not a jot or tittle would be lost from the law until it was all established. And believe me, if you put a jot and we read it for a tittle, you won't get the email, I guarantee. So write very clearly. We spend Mondays reading over, what in the world is that letter? So help us out. And if any of you did not get or have not seen a copy of our book, we still have a few copies left, Chronicles God's Blessing in These Years in Italy. It's available to you for a free will gift. And tonight, don't miss. Tonight, I'm going to pull out my funnel horn, my garden hose, and I also play a number on the trumpet. So I think you might enjoy that. The Lord said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so tonight, you're going to see a funnel horn that has breath to praise the Lord. And then we will be showing a presentation on the history of Roman Catholicism, how it came to where it is now. And some of you may have seen it in the past. It is really an excellent overview of church history. And that's kind of my thing. You can't live in a place like Italy and not appreciate church history, believe me. Except my wife. She does well about that. But yeah. And by the way, she tonight will be speaking, right? Yeah, she'll be sharing a few words, so don't miss out. And we're looking forward to this week. It's going to stretch me to minister to kids. Last week I had adults. I taught 20 hours of church history. It was great. And now, Monday, I'm going to be Jonah. So we'll see how that goes this week. I'd like if you open your Bibles with me, the book of Jeremiah. And I was so challenged recently in reading this portion to learn of God's call in the life of Jeremiah. And it's my prayer that as this is shared, we will not only rejoice in God's call in the past, but pray for God's call in the present and the future. I praise God. I was only 12 years old. Anybody here 12 years old? Anybody here 12 years old? Wow. Anyways, I was 12 years old when in a missions conference in my church in upstate New York, God spoke to my heart about being a missionary. And I'm so thankful for that night when I yielded to him and said, God, I don't know what you're going to do with my life. I was always the shortest one in the class. You know, in gym class, you have to line up by height. I just went to the end. That was my spot. But I praise God for what he's been pleased to do in these lives and these years as we've seeked to live our life in obedience to him. Jeremiah was the son of a priest. So I kind of identify with that. My dad was a pastor. I'm the oldest of seven. From the time I could breathe, in other words, right after I was born, I was in church. But I had to come to a time in my own life when I realized that Jesus died for me. As a child, I put my faith in him, and it gave me a new life, a new life. Now, I had never robbed a bank or killed anybody like the people I deal with in prison all the time in Italy, but I knew I was a sinner. Sometimes I was nasty to my little sister. And God saved me, and I'm so thankful for it. So Jeremiah was the son of a priest, and Jeremiah's name means to establish Yah, or to establish Yahweh, the name of God, to declare his name. And certainly, as I think of my own life and the life of each of us, if we know Christ as Savior, that is the reason we got saved. We were not saved so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. Oh, that's a great benefit. But we were saved so that our lives could be lived for the glory of God in bringing other people to a place where they realize their need of Christ. And along this line, I thank God for every Christian layman and every Christian cabinet maker and every Christian bricklayer, every Christian farmer, every Christian school teacher. I praise God for each of these people as they work hard and they're a faithful testimony in their life. But you know, the great thing about serving God as a pastor or as a missionary, the result of all your hard work, you get to take with you to heaven. Isn't that great? And when I think of some of the people you saw just now, the lives that God has changed in the years has been a miracle. And I'm just looking forward to heaven. It's going to be great. Open your Bibles with me for Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, and Jeremiah, his call. Starting in verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Heavenly Father, we just ask in this time together that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. We pray that your word would find a terrain that is ready to receive it. I pray in Christ our Savior's name. Amen. God's call to service in the life of Jeremiah. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me. And you think of the times in which Jeremiah lived, they were not easy times. In this time period, Isaiah was the people were so thankful for his ministry, they sawed him in half. It was not a time when it was popular to be a preacher of the word of God. But the Lord came to Jeremiah and he said, before you were conceived, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. When our kids were small, they used to say, Daddy, where did I come from? I remember the story of a little boy who asked his dad and mom, where did I come from? And dad thought, oh boy, it's the time. And they went through the whole process. And he looked at him, he says, well, I just wondered because Jimmy next door, he comes from Texas. Well, before we were conceived, I remember our children, they would say, Daddy, where was I before I was born? I said, you were in God's mind. How precious to think that we are not here by chance. And how tragic when children in the womb have been killed and continue to be murdered daily in our country. How sad, and around the world. Before I knew you, I formed you, the Lord said to him. And before you were born, I consecrated you. You mean Jeremiah wasn't just a blob of plasma before he was born? No, he was a person. He was a person that God had a program and a plan for his life. And I appointed you to a prophet, I gave you literally to be a prophet or as a prophet. How many times do we think of our ministry for the Lord, our life for the Lord, as a gift to other people? He has given us, he has put us in their lives so that we can do something in their lives for his glory. In spite of our weaknesses, because Jeremiah's response is, Lord, I don't know how to speak, I'm just a youth. This excuse has been given many times. You remember Moses and others. Lord, you don't realize how weak I am. And then the Lord responds to that. It makes me think of something very important. When some say, well, I'm only a young person. You know, I'm encouraged with the life of Timothy. We saw this morning where how he died as an elderly preacher. But as he was a young man, just getting started, what did Paul say to him? Let no man despise thy youth. And it is so encouraging to me in a church where there are young people that are stepping up and saying, what can I do to help? How can I serve the Lord? And it is so important that there are young people who are ready to step up. Because, you know, we old people, we get kind of tired sometimes. I get tired when I come back from playing an hour and a half of soccer, really. tiring. We get tired. And we're just so encouraged when some young people come along and they say, what can I do to help? It's not too cool when they come along and say, okay, I want to be in charge right now. That's not too cool. But when a young person comes up and says, how can I serve? What can I do for the Lord? That is such an encouragement. Here Jeremiah said, I'm just a youth. How could I do anything? And then the Lord said, for all to whom I send you, you shall go. It's not optional. When the Lord lays something on our hearts to do for him, it's not, if you like to, if you want to, if you got time. No, you shall go, the Lord said to him. You shall go. So the call of God's grace, first of all, the call of God in Jeremiah's life, in our life, God's call comes, first of all, by grace. Even before he was born, there was nothing in his life that where he could say, I'm so good, I'm so glad that God lets me serve him. No. God's call comes by his grace, only by his grace. There is no one that is worthy. And when you start thinking you are God's gift to the church or to other people, you're on your way down, let me tell you, because it's only by God's grace. And then totally unmerited. That's in verses 4 to 6, we see that. God's call is only by his grace. Now, God didn't just look down in future and see, well, let's see what Jeremiah's going to become. Let's turn the pages, see where. No, his call was by his grace. And then in verses 6 to 8, we find that God's call demands obedience. I wouldn't know how many people in these years, and I know I'm so young you won't believe this, but this is our 10th furlough. Next year, Lord willing, we'll get our 50-year pin. 50. I mean, I'm hoping that this one here that was like 35 or something is not a tiny, tiny little diamond chip. I'm hoping that the next year on the 50th, it'll at least be big enough that they don't have to give a magnifying glass so you can see it. 50 years. Incredible. But you know, when God called us to serve him, we had to understand it wasn't our choice. We had to obey. We had to obey. You shall go. In our weakness, we can't use our weakness as an excuse. We can't use our lack of preparation for an excuse. Well, get some preparation. Go study. If God calls you to do something, get prepared. Do it. So God, in our weakness, expects us to do, obey. Remember Moses' story. He says, Lord, I can't do that because I can't speak. I can't speak. And the Lord said, don't worry. I'll send your brother. He'll do the speaking for you. So when we acknowledge our weaknesses, I remember my dad. My dad was a farm boy. When he was 16, he was saved and felt God's call to become a preacher. Well, he had a very hard time talking in front of people. And he couldn't keep his thoughts. I'm thinking the word in Italian is balbettare. How do you say it in English? Stutter. He stuttered. And yet, when he answered God's call to prepare for the ministry, he never had an issue. He served the Lord for 53 years. So in our weaknesses, God will take over. In our lack of experience, well, I'm just a youth. Well, just give your heart to God and let him lead you. You can be an encouragement as a young person to us old people who are getting tired. You can be a great encouragement when we see your enthusiasm, your sincerity, your desire to serve. So in our lack of experience, we can't hold that up to say, well, I'm too young. You'll get experience, believe me, as we serve God. I get a kick out of young people who apply for a job, and then they say, well, we'd love to give you the job, but you don't have any experience. Well, how in the world are you going to get experience? And let's just start working, okay? Well, you'll get that serving God. You'll get experience. You may feel immature. Well, you will face situations as you serve God, which will help you grow. Help you grow. And even in our fear, God expects us to obey, even if we're afraid. If we're afraid to step out. I'm only a youth. I'm so afraid. I don't know the ropes. In our fear, you know what? Lack of faith is because of fear. Lack of faith is sin. Lack of faith is sin. And when we as a believer say, would we see a need in the local church? I wonder how many times this week trying to get ready for DVBS, we were praying, pleading with people to come help us, and they maybe didn't get it. I hope they got everybody they need. But you know, a lot of people say, I'm not cut out to work with kids. You'll get experience. You'll learn what it means to serve God. You'll grow through that. I'll be honest. I was really enjoying teaching church history to adults last week. We'll see how I do with the kids this week. But we serve God. We step out by faith because we know when God calls, that demands us to obey. It's not a choice if you want to or don't want to, because the alternative is terrible. I'm telling you, over the years, I've met so many people, elderly people, even older than me, some of them, who'd come up and say, you know, when I was a young person, God called me to be a missionary. I did not obey. My life has been hell. I married an unsaved person. I've had an unhappy situation at home. And I know that if I had obeyed God when he called me, my life would have been so different. God's call demands obedience. When God called us to Italy, we were already accepted to go to Africa. And that would have been so cool. Just go there and fit in, be part of a big group of missionaries in a tiny country. Instead, the Lord said, no, I want you over there in Italy under the Pope's nose to preach the gospel. And we went through many discouraging times because if you can imagine, you don't just walk up to the door and say, I'm from your local Baptist church. I know you'd love to come visit us. No, it doesn't happen. When people for centuries and centuries and centuries have been involved in a system that has told them that they need to work like crazy, do all the sacraments so that when they die, they can go to purgatory and then hope that somebody will give them that push to get up to heaven someday. And it just seemed impossible. When we got off the plane, I'll confess to you, young missionary, I was 25 at the time. We got off the plane, I felt like I was going to prison because I knew I wasn't going to see my parents or my brothers and sisters for 4 years. I was in Italy. And when we got to our city, Perugia, cold, rainy, foggy, one tiny little evangelical church in the entire city. And I was thinking, Lord, I'm scared. But that didn't give us the right to turn around and leave. Not at all. Church planning in Italy seems so difficult. And unfortunately, I have to tell you that in these years, we have seen 20 missionaries, just with our mission, come and go for various reasons. It's not easy. But if God calls you there, in your weakness, in your fear, he is going to help you go forward. So we knew that God's call demanded our obedience. And then in verses 9 and 10, we see that God's call also guarantees equipping. He will give us what we need to do what we have to accomplish. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and said, the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. We couldn't go to Italy and wave the American flag. We couldn't go to Italy with our American concept of what everything is all about. Rachel found that she couldn't go to Italy and use her American recipes for spaghetti sauce. Doesn't work. But we knew that God would make a way. That God would make a way. As we looked to his word day by day and sought strength and prayed, asking him to open doors, you saw what God has done. Incredible to think of a little tiny gospel testimony having the privilege of being on TV every day for all these years. What a blessing. We never thought it would happen, but God did it. The Lord said unto me, I put my words in your mouth. We must go with God's word. I learned a very bitter lesson one time. I was in America. We were visiting a very large church, tremendous pastor. I went on visitation with him. Every home we went to, the people said, oh, our pastor is marvelous. You got to come hear our pastor. All they talked about was their pastor. They didn't talk about Jesus. Well, unfortunately, that man fell. He fell. He's out of the Lord's work. We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. And that is our message, the word of God. See, I've set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. In our tiny little outreach, we have no idea how many lives we're going to touch. Of course, we've been there so long. I don't know if they'll name a street in our honor in Perugia. Probably not. But it was interesting. Rachel had surgery just before we came home. And the surgeon came in and the room, and I was chatting, and I just said, Professor, thank you so much. We really appreciate your work. He says, oh, I'm not a professor. You're the professor. I've been watching you on television since I was a boy. And to have what we had a big celebration to celebrate paying off our mortgage. And I invited the mayor, invited different people to come. Lo and behold, the mayor of our city of Perugia, 180,000 people, sent an official representative that day to church to acknowledge the fact that we were able to reach this step. Well, we don't know where our message is going to go. And here he's talking to a Jewish prophet, and he's saying, I've set you over nations and over kingdoms. We must be ready to give the gospel out to those around us and realize that God is going to take that much farther than we can ever imagine. And when we started on TV way back in 79, we couldn't have imagined the lives that we would reach through that means. So the equipping is God's word, first of all. And then we have a plan. God gives us a plan. He doesn't say, just go, just do what you bet. You do what you can. And this plan is a little difficult. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms. So first of all, we're reaching out. And I wish you could visit our church. Some of you folk have been there. Half Italian and the other half from 15 nations of the world. It's wonderful. People from all over have come to know Christ in our church. But our ministry, he says, pluck up, break down, destroy, and overthrow. You know, you've been to work in the fields or have in the past. You know, you just don't go over in the field and start sowing the seed. There is so much work to begin to prepare the land. So much. It's that way with the gospel. You just don't go stand on the street corner and start quoting John 3:16. You have to find ways to have people understand the error of where they are living, how they have sinned before God, their need of salvation. There's so much to be done in preparing, in tearing down, in helping people see that their lifestyle right now puts them under the wrath of God. That the things they are doing with a good heart, with a religious heart, is absolutely nauseating to God. You have to say those hard things in love. They have to see their need of a Savior. And so, so much tearing down, so much preparing the soil to then sow, to build and to plant. This word building, edified, build up. But you can't build unless you have a solid foundation. That's the problem they ran into in Pisa. You know, they didn't just sit down and say, what can we do to make our town a tourist attraction? Let's build a crooked tower. They didn't intend to do that. They didn't investigate the soil underneath where they were building the tower. And very soon, I mean, almost immediately, the first few feet, it started leaning. And, well, rather than digging down and starting over, they just corrected it. So the tower goes up and a little bit up more, you know. But we have to prepare the soil before anything solid can be built upon it. And in the Lord's work, there are so many times when it hurts. On a friendship basis, when you have to say to someone in love, you know, what you're doing right now makes God sick. God is angry. You will never please God doing what you're doing right now, because Jesus paid it all. And you're saying, no, I want to pay more. Can you imagine going to a restaurant? You're invited by a friend to go to a restaurant, and he's already paid for your meal, and then you go to the cashier and make a big scene because you want to pay too. Well, that's what people do all over the world. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus paid it all. And yet people all over the world are reaching up saying, I want to pay. I want to pay. I want to do it. So we have to go and tear down, destroy, so that we can then build up. And as we think of God's plan, so many people have a way, very light, easy way to present the gospel. Jesus talks about repentance from sin. Oh, you want to be a Christian? Just continue your lifestyle. Just put a Jesus pin on your lapel, you're all set. Just put a Jesus bumper sticker on. No. Jesus calls us to repent from our sin and to obey his word and follow him. So the message is difficult, but this is a message that God has given to us, and we need to be faithful with that. To build, edify. I think of our ministry in prison. What a joy. I tell my people, you know, Sunday morning is beautiful. I mean, not too beautiful today. I saw them online. Everybody with a mask and, you know, all this. Anyways, Sunday is gorgeous, wonderful. Get together with all God's people. And I say, you know, this is not my favorite time of the week. My favorite time of the week is Thursday afternoon when I walk through 10 or 12 gates, lock and key, to get in the middle of a prison with men who are in there for life, who have done terrible things, but we study God's word together and to see God change lives. That to me is my most special time of the week, really. One little story I'll share. We have in my class a couple of men, just really incredible. One of these men was grew up in an evangelical church. His parents made him go to church. He hated it. When he was 12, he said, I'm not going anymore. And very foolishly, his parents said, okay, whatever. He said, don't even pray for me. I don't want anything to do with church. Well, he got in a bad crowd. In Italy, we have, you ever heard of the mafia? It's not a joke. It's real. In Naples, they don't call it the mafia, which means my family. They call it the Camorra. And I don't know what that means. But it's a group of men who want to determine what other people do and force people to pay for things that they shouldn't have to pay. Well, the Camorra in Naples was selling drugs, as they do, and a group of African immigrants came in with drugs and started selling drugs in their area. Well, finally, the Camorra sent word to these Africans, get out This is our territory. We have drugs to sell too. You know. Well, they stayed. They didn't leave. So one night, this man David, Davide, went with a few other guys to their clubhouse where they hung out. There were eight of them. But that night, there was only seven. One of them was missing. They went in this clubhouse and shot seven men dead. 3 years or three life sentences. He's in prison now. But he got into prison and he got saved. He called his mom and his family in and shared the good news that he had gotten saved. God had forgiven him. He'll never get out of prison. The state won't forgive, but he is forgiven. So he was in the dining hall at the prison and prayed for his meal. He looked up after prayer and looked way across the dining hall and he saw an African guy praying. So he jumped up and he ran over to this African guy. Oh, are you a Christian too? Yeah, I'm a Christian. They got talking. The guy was in for drugs. Come to find out, that guy, Isaac is his name, he was number 8 in that gang. That night, he wasn't there. He later got arrested, got saved in prison, and now these two, I call them salt and pepper, because the guy from Ghana is very dark, and the Italian is light, and I call them salt and pepper. They love each other to the Lord, and they're great students of the Word. It's a great joy to have known them and their testimony. But you know, you step into situations, you don't know what God's going to do, and you have to be ready and willing to be there. Another one of my men that got saved in prison, he's out now. He wasn't too serious what he did. He tried to drive a truckload of marijuana across the border into Italy, a semi full of marijuana, but he got arrested. Anyways, he's out now. But he got saved in prison, and now, in his simplicity, every day, every night, he goes on Facebook and reads Scripture. And he's got people, he's not a preacher, he just reads Scripture. He just wants to be a testimony of the faith. And it's just a joy to see God do that in people's lives. Well, I could have, way back when, thought, Lord, I can't do this. And many times as we got discouraged. We never came that close to quitting, but we got very discouraged, believe me. But I said, why should we quit and let somebody else get all the blessings? We want them all. We want those blessings. And what a blessing it is as you serve God, as you sow, as he works in people's hearts and brings them to faith. What a joy it is to see what he has done for his glory over the years. Well, Jeremiah was not a very willing prophet, and he didn't have a happy life either. You know, when at a certain point they were so tired of his preaching, they threw him down in a well, no water, just mud. And he was sinking down in that mud. A slave who had come to faith in Jehovah organized to get him pulled up out of that well and to be able to continue his time of captivity, but at least not in those conditions. All I want to say is if God is calling you to do something special for him in this local church or somewhere around the world, like Italy, where less than 0.5% are evangelical Christians, don't say, I can't do it. You don't have that choice. You have to obey. I pray that God would move in your hearts, that you would be willing to say, yes, Lord, I am ready. I'm going to head out. I want to serve you. And please lead me because I want to do it well and I want to do it for your glory. You folks have been a great encouragement to us over the years. Your faithfulness to the Lord, to us. And it is such a joy for Rachel and I to be here with you for this week. And I trust to have many opportunities to interact with you. If any of you have any special questions, please feel free to talk with us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of faith of Jeremiah, who felt totally unable to do what you had asked him to do, but he was willing to follow you and to trust you. I pray that you'll make us, as your disciples, ready to go, ready to serve, ready to be used of you, ready to be blessed as we see lives changed by the power of the gospel that we carry. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.